Yeah, because we put that over on the...
Good, good.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Holden Village. Anybody recognize that routine? Okay, I didn't have my powder milk biscuits this morning. And you know what they do for you?
Make you flaky.
Somebody had it here.
Make you smart.
It permits shy people to get up in the morning and do what they have to do. And I'm basically, and have been, a shy person all my life. And so I miss my powdered milk biscuits here at Holden Village. So if you'll bear with me, I'm accustomed to talking to Forest Service groups during my career. And more recently, just before I retired the first of this year, and I did a lot of things with Forest Service people, and I was pretty comfortable with that because I knew what they're like, and they're kind of different, but I knew what they were like anyway. And they, what they're like under the skin, and I need to do that with an audience. I kind of have to know what they're like when they're not here, maybe, or what they're really like. And so what I'd like you to do, my style is a lot of participation, considerable participation. My goal is more than 50% of the time is going to be you. That's my goal. And
you have to read that to us because we can't see it.
This is a... Yeah, I'm just afraid of that. this is a... Like that. Greater than. Greater than. 50% you. That's the Elder Hostels group. And less than 50%
me.
So, that's my goal. That's what I want to do. And because I found, like in the Forest Service, you can't tell anybody anything anyway. And so that is an objective, but the way people are, they have to be kind of comfortable to do that. And so a way to get comfortable, maybe, that I've read in books, is a way that you get comfortable is to know what people are like under the skin. And what I thought we'd do is pick off a interest of yours and how you pursue that interest, something at home, common, something that's your interest, that is really an interest of yours. It's not something you have to do, something you like to do. Thank you. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
You can't see the board, but you can hear me. I mean, we'll work on the board.
It wasn't because of hindsight, it was because of the glare.
The glare, I understand. I don't like those, I like blackboards. That's what I was raised on. Not green boards or white boards, blackboards. So, what I'd like each person to do is to say, this is my interest, and this is the way I pursue it. And I'll give you a few examples of mine. I'm going to give several, but you just do one. Your main, kind of the one that you think is one of your main interests. Okay. One of my main interests is politics. And I pursue that. This can be glary. Interest. and a pursuit. Okay, an example is politics. And a pursuit that I engage myself into to reach that is school board. And I work on a campaign for a Republican state representative at home.
Does the Hatch Act permit that?
What's that?
Does the Hatch Act permit that?
He's retired.
That does now after the first
He's
of the
retired.
Year. Yeah, I can do it. That's why I really like to do it. Because I couldn't do it before. But anyway, another one is fitness is an interest, for an example. Fitness is, well, the way I satisfy that is I work out at Nautilus 3 times a week with weights and things. So that's an example of how I pursue that. I'm interested in languages, so I joined the Sons of Norway and took a class in Norwegian, and I traveled. And I'm interested in sports, so I watch TV. So those are some interests. And Molly, could you give us an interest and a pursuit, please?
Well, I enjoy looking at spiritual things, and so I do take time to read my Bible and attend Bible studies during the year and involved with my church and read some Christian books that come out from time to time that are of interest to me.
Okay. I won't write all these down, but we'll go around the room and we'll start at the back, because other people always start at the beginning and I'll do it different. Barb, an interest.
Oh, I have an interest in skiing and hiking, and so I come to hold it.
Great. Great. And?
Well, I think maybe people. And most of my activities, both volunteer and regular, are involved with people.
Very good. That's great. Yes, you.
Oh, I'm trying to think.
Let's take some time then, if you want it.
I do a lot of knitting in my spare time, and I knit for my family, and then for the church bazaar or something.
Making things with your hands, you have an interest in that, and the way you do that is knitting. Great.
I'm interested in gardening, so I play in my greenhouse.
You have a greenhouse. Great. And you, sir?
Well, I guess I'm interested in making things, so I now pursue carpentry.
Carpentry. Good, thanks.
Travel. I'd like to see the whole world.
Thank you.
I'm helping others, so I'm on the board of the Salvation Army and the settlement house in my town, and making my church.
Helping others is your interest. Mm-hmm. Good, thanks.
I'm interested in crafts. I've taken classes, I've taught classes. I go to bazaars not necessarily to buy, but to look and get ideas and come home and make them myself.
You're not one of these who's interested in buying and you go shopping all the time. You like to go to bazaars and think.
Copy.
I see.
I do volunteer work and work in the garden, and I love to play bridge and any other kind of cards. I like to do lots of other things I can't do.
You're like me, yes.
I'm interested in music, and I play a recorder, and I've been taking a class, 8 hands, on 2 pianos. All the symphonies are rewritten for that, and I sing.
So your interest is music, and you do all these things to satisfy that musical interest. Mm-hmm. Great. We'll start back here on this row with Gwen.
Oh, well, I don't know. I'm interested in health, and I read health books and try to do things that are helpful.
Great. That's good.
I like to travel, so I pinch pennies 1 year and splurge the next.
The secret of successful travelers. Yeah.
I must say I'm the same as Marge. She and I do traveling together.
so you alternate pinching and... Yes, sir.
I have a friend who writes the same thing, so we spend 3 hours a week discussing religious subjects and doctrines and creeds and so forth.
Spiritual
subjects.
Growth.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I enjoy music, and I too spend a lot of time playing recorders. I like that very much. But I live in Southern California, where illegal immigration has always been a problem. So I have studied that problem a lot.
So you're interested in immigration issues?
As an issue.
Yes, ma'am.
My interests are fitness, which I follow through with bike riding and golf, and also music, and I'm revitalizing my interest in that body organ.
Your music? By doing what?
I just bought another organ.
Another organ. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
I like a lot of things, but square dancing is my main interest. I love square dancing.
That's music?
I sing in the choir, and I
music.
Do a lot of craft.
Uh-huh.
I like to make friends.
Making friends. Great. Yes, sir.
I like to hike. Looking for a companion or two to hike to Heart Lake tomorrow.
That's a good objective. Yes, ma'am.
I'm interested in the weather. And I keep a record every morning of the temperature inside on the thermometers on the window and the one that's out in the garden. I have two rain gauges. The one that catches the rain out in the garden is a high-tech one that records for me on the inside the house. I don't have the wind thing yet, but yeah. I've made graphs. I've always loved the weather. I come from Wisconsin, and you can have 10 times the weather in one day. And we live in California, nothing happens.
You record, you have an interest in the weather, so you record weather.
Right. I put it down.
Yeah, that's interesting because...
And I have a barometer, too, so I can watch it.
That's neat. Ma'am.
Well, my family's just been pretty busy, but I also do some stained glass work and furniture refinishing and bike riding and traveling, so I keep pretty busy that way.
So you're crafts and...
Yes, I like crafts.
Good. Yes, sir.
Oh, I enjoy bowling. I enjoy tutoring, literacy volunteers. It's one of my things that I really do enjoy. I did enjoy woodworking until my eyes started to go, but after cataract surgery, I think I might get back into that again.
But you're interested in teaching people that need to learn, working with people, is that?
Yes, particularly with older immigrants, refugees, who don't have the motivation to learn to speak English so they can get a job. They just need something to get them away from the home and from sitting alone in their room. All their families off working or going to school, and they're left at home alone. They need something to open the world up to them, and we've been doing that.
Thanks, John.
Through Elders of the World.
Appreciate that. Mabel?
I first am interested in teaching, and been in literacy volunteers also, but currently I have a Chinese student from Taiwan who wanted to get a citizenship. So we worked on helping him attain his citizenship, and then he went home and taught his wife, and so they both got their citizenship.
Great. Good to hear. Shirley?
I'm interested in reading, and I discovered story tapes at the library, and I'm listening to some tapes now of classics that I can't read the book. I'm listening to the tapes, and I've also become interested in fitness. I take the yoga class at home.
So you're interested in reading and fitness. Uh-huh. And what do you do at home on fitness?
I take yoga.
Yoga.
Uh-huh.
I see.
I just start with yoga.
Uh-huh. And Doris?
Well, I'm interested in a lot of things. Like your wife, I'm involved with my church. That's really important to me. But I rather think of it as a way of life than an interest. One of my special interests is the environment, and I belong to a local wildlife federation, and we go out and pull noxious weeds which fulfills another interest, which is fitness.
Great. Good combination. And I don't know your name.
Wanda.
Uh-huh. I'm a friend of Doris's also, and sometimes we do fitness things together, like going hiking and looking for wildflowers and that sort of thing. And I also enjoy people and all the various activities that you can do with people. I like reading. I swim for fitness and walk. And I like handcrafts. I like to knit for grandchildren especially. And it just seems like all the things that these people say, except politics, I'm interested in too.
Yeah.
But not a politician.
Yeah. But a fitness is a
people.
Big thing.
Yeah, I guess I'm a people person.
Well, you look like you're pretty successful. And?
Well, it's everybody else with the crafts and do a lot of reading.
Uh-huh.
I collect cookbooks. I like old books.
Park.
And physical fitness. I have to walk the dog.
Uh-huh. Walk the dog for fitness.
That takes a lot of walking.
Some dogs it does, yes. And James?
I like the creative process, the training your hands to do what your mind can imagine. So I do a lot of wood things now. And I like the world of ideas.
Yeah. Florence?
I enjoy the out of doors. I guess that's why I'm here. I have always been interested in people with handicaps, and my outlet for that is volunteering for blind and visually impaired people. And I spend several hours a week doing that. I lost my gardening when I moved from a house into a condominium, but Seattle has a marvelous program. It's an adopt-a-park, so I signed up for that when I moved to Seattle. So I have a little park that I pull weeds in. I can do as much or as little as I'd like, and when I feel the urge to really get out and dig, I stop at my little park near my
gardening
house.
On your schedule. Great. Thanks. Harriet?
I have two things I'd say are foremost. I love to sew and be creative with my hands, but I also love to teach and am, as I mentioned yesterday, involved with the literacy thing, and this has been one of the greatest thrills to see someone learn to be able to read a book.
Great. I bet it is. Norman?
As a Christian, I think one of our goals is to prepare for registration in the Book of Life. And so I believe in reading the Bible and studying it on a daily basis and helping others also in their pursuit.
Spiritual growth, and then you help others do that through getting together with others.
Yes.
Great. Evelyn?
I'm one who has lots of interest, not enough hours in the day, but the overriding one is music, and this permeates all my life. Classical music on all the time, and playing for my own enjoyment. Being a substitute organist, I can also combine that with my interest in religion, because I go to many denominations. Very, very enjoyable, broadening thing. I use it in teaching, particularly kindergarten classes, lots of songs and games with travel, listening to organs, going to recitals.
So your interest is music, and you have many ways of carrying that out. Jane?
I would say I have two basic interests. One is the worldwide problem of poverty and its offshoot, hunger. So I was Washington's representative to Heifer Project International this year at the planning conference, and have been an advocate of Heifer Project for 24 years. The recreational interest is outdoors, basically landscape gardening. I've been a volunteer at that for 9 years for our church.
Thanks. And...
In
Henry.
Well, I should say that that music is my main interest, and I love to play the piano and organ, and I love to, I always love to teach young people to, in music. But I also have a very, I'm an avid gardener too, and I have a lot of flowers. My yard is, I have an acre for my home in Minneapolis, and I have a lot of gardening. I belong to the several garden clubs in Minneapolis, and I'm interested in helping in the Arboretum, Minneapolis Arboretum, and the Fragrance Garden for the Blind. And I also do a little painting.
You're busy.
Yeah.
Henry. Helen. Right? No. Is that right?
Yes. Well, I like to do crafts, and especially sewing. So I have been doing volunteer sewing, and doing volunteer sewing for the quilting for our ELCA. I work for the World Relief. And then I also, let's see what else was it. Yeah, I also like to sing, so I'm a member of our choir at home. And
so music
and crafts.
And crafts.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You keep busy, though.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I didn't work my band this morning. I'm Doris.
Doris, okay.
I was lucky to get up this morning. Well, I'm going to be an interest that I really am not an outstanding exponent of, but since it hasn't been mentioned many times, just for variety, advanced environmentalism on a large scale. When I was in college, I wrote a paper on Russian plans to make over their climate. This involved, you probably know about it, tremendous plans for reforestation and for diverting rivers and warming up their miserable climate, some of which plans have already been carried out with terrible effects. And I'm a lifetime member of Men of the Trees, which is an English organization devoted to reforestation on a large scale. It may be defunct now, I'm not sure. I haven't been able to get in touch with it for a few years. And the New Forests Fund and environmental defense and all that stuff. And I feel kind of silly saying this because actually I can't tell one tree from another.
But we can help
But I mean, the idea of it on a mass scale is very appealing and convincing to me, and I support them with money even when I can't get out there and do much outside.
And your name again was?
Doris.
Doris. Thanks. And it's Helen.
And I'm interested in gardening, and I read about it, and I talk about it. And I actually get out and do a little too.
Once in a while. That's great, Helen.
How about your quilts?
Let's see, it's
I do it.
Irene?
Rini. Americans mispronounce my name.
What is it, Rini?
Rini, yes. I dropped the I off.
We don't have too many Rini.
You pronounce it my way.
Right.
Well, I'm interested in people. Ever since school days, I've had pen pals all over the world, and I've met a lot of them. And then when I was teaching, I contacted a lot of teachers in other countries. I'm also interested in the community, and I'm secretary for three organizations because I'm not bright enough to say no, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Rainey, your interest is people, and it sounds like you have another interest, which is writing, which
yes.
is you like to,
yes, I love to write.
Communicate by writing?
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
Good. Mary?
I think mine is fitness, and it covers all kinds of fitness. I think my body is a temple, so I take good care of it. And I'm interested in other people's fitness and try and do as much as I can to guide them into fitness. And then I also think that fitness covers my mind. I mean, I try and keep my mind interested and alert. And when you said politics, and some people might not agree with you, I think that the environment is a form of politics.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would use an umbrella of fitness in every respect. My spiritual life has to be well channeled. Everything. That covers it.
Mental and physical fitness is your interest then.
And other people's too.
And other people.
My caring about what happens sure. to other people.
Great. Win.
Your favorite name. Right?
My favorite name. Winifred.
Or did he tell that to anybody?
No, I told Winifred I really always liked that name. And I really, really like it. And we have four daughters, and none of them are Winifred, so I compromise.
Well, I'm very, see, I have many interests. And I think foremost, I'm like Molly, we are very interested in people and our. And in our church, and we're in a couple of Bible studies, and as I'm the treasurer of our church too, which is quite a responsibility, and we teach Sunday school, and but people, the inside of people are what is important to me, and how they view life and observe and whatnot. And then we too are in the literacy program. We're with the second graders. These are children that are not quite ready to go into the third grade, and they do not know how to read. And so we are, we hold them. Just it's a one-on-one basis, and for the whole year. And it's interesting to see the child develop. Like you people were saying, how which ones are the literacy? Mm-hmm. Yes, how it's so interesting to see. It's gratifying to us to see that person advance from one word to a whole sentence.
Yeah.
And that's a great interest to us. And I too like music, and I play the piano at the rest home for a group.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Bob?
Well, I don't know where to start.
Well,
I believe we're put on this planet for a reason. And the reason is to glorify God and to make other people aware that there is an eternity. And I've been involved in the Gideon's work for the last 10 years or so. And we see to get the word of God gets out to all the highways and byways of life, the motels and the prisons and the jails, and passing out testaments to the kids outside the school grounds. And that keeps us pretty busy. And then I'm interested in the outdoors, fishing, hiking.
Mm-hmm. So you go fishing?
Right. Fishing is number one.
That's right. Thanks.
Fishing for men and fishing for fish.
There you go.
Okay?
Thanks, Bob. Nancy?
Well, I like all outdoor things, I believe. But my most current interest, I don't know which came first. I started taking Spanish because we've had a lot of migrants who are in our county, and in beginning that, I got interested in the migrant problems and would like to do something along with that.
Outdoors and people who are migrants, your interest. Leonard.
I think you and I have something else in common. I've chased women for 40 years. My
around
wife and four daughters are all super achievers, and I've tried to keep up with them.
It takes some doing, yeah.
But so I'm going kind of through a transitional stage here due to an equilibrium problem. I can't do the things I used to pursue with a real passion, and I can't discern melodies anymore, so that's out. But I'm finding, having read trade magazines and think manuals all my life, I'm finding a real fascination for communication, whether it's the written word or the spoken word, semantics and people's ability to express themselves. And I'm finding myself really getting into that.
Words and language? yeah, and communication.
I can't find enough time to read. I no longer turn the sport page or the business page first. I'm learning to read the newspaper from the first page back and the editorial page. We have a place down at the beach there in Oregon, and it's quite a retired community. And I've learned to read the letters to the editor of that little local newspaper. There are a lot. It's really fascinating to hear how well people express themselves. Mm-hmm. And we get away from the nuts that seem to write to the editor in the big cities or calling on the talk shows. And just by realizing people can express themselves better than I'd realized, it's been a fascination. And I think I'm probably going to head in that direction and just get
great.
More involved with that. And I think we'll continue to do outdoor work. We bicycle, and Oregon has a Master Gardener program. Again, the natural sciences have always been there, but have never had time to take and enjoy them. But I think we'll get into the gardening program where they teach you the right way to do it.
So, gardening and
something
communication.
We can do together.
Sure.
We're kind of going through a second honeymoon at this point. We've pretty much dropped most commitments we've had, gotten out of those, and we're just winging it for a few months to enjoy not having a schedule or routine to keep up with.
Thanks for sharing that.
That's been a lot of fun.
Irene?
Well, I try to do a lot of physical fitness, water aerobics, and bicycling, and that sort of thing. I guess you might call it volunteering. There are a lot of people, it seems, that don't no longer drive, need a ride to the doctor or to church or to water aerobics or whatever, and I like to do that.
So you're a helper?
I hope so.
Yeah. You like to help
people. She did.
Good. So you drive people around?
Yes.
Sure, they appreciate that. What, did I miss anybody, or anybody want to add anything? I know maybe you're dissatisfied with doing this, but I just have to do this. You're just now you're special people to me. A group is not a group of elder houses. It's a new group of people. You're different than any other group, and you're individuals. And I like to know who you are and how that. How you're, where you're coming from, as we say. Mm-hmm. Now, I erase this stuff here. Move off of this area. I'm a card person. I have a course outline that I developed for what we're doing in my session. And that course outline starts on your trip up here. Maybe you didn't know that, but that was part of this course. Because we didn't tell you that. And I have 45 copies of this course outline done in pink. And there should be enough here for each Elder Hostel person. And I'm going to pass these around. And these are for you to keep and put your name on it or whatever you want to do with it. And I think if you'll notice on there, I only made one mistake, and I corrected that. But it's like my daughter said, I thought I made a mistake once, but I found out it wasn't, so I really never have. So, anyway. Start these around this row here. So, that's the course outline. And as I said, that started on Saturday with your trip from Chelan up here with Susan Sanford, who was a forest
Monday.
I came on Saturday.
Okay.
See? You came on Monday and I came on Saturday. Yeah, that's right. It was Monday. But I got that right on the schedule. But they need, we make it around here. That you can see that where we are right now is on B, Tuesday. It's but Susan Sanford is a naturalist that works for the Chelan Ranger District on the Wenatchee National Forest. And she was the person who I was able to enlist. And she was glad to do it. And she said that she really liked doing it because she liked the group of people.
She was very good, too.
She's fantastic.
She's good?
Yeah, very good.
We'll put it on permanent then. You think so? You think so?
Oh, yes.
She's got enthusiasm?
Yes.
Well, that's what we're looking for. I talk like a Forest Service person, but I'm really not one anymore. But anyway, she... I'm pleased to hear that. I asked the ranger, Al Murphy, if he could do that. And so he did that. And he asked Susan to do that. And so that was really great that it could work out and that you connected.
Jim, one thing that was good was she didn't assume that we knew anything, but she also did not teach us, like, talk to us like children.
Uh-huh.
And she explained things, but in such a way that she was not talking down to us.
That's good to hear. Mm-hmm. And I'll pass that on, sure will, too, to her also, supervisor.
Something else was interesting, too. Someone said, you know so much, Susan, you must have read a lot. She said, well, I surprise myself because it just comes. And I thought, well, there's a natural.
Sure.
It was very, very good.
Yeah. It's interesting that she really hasn't worked for the Forest Service very long. Yeah. And she hadn't done anything like that before. So she really worked hard to get that ready for you. And she was excited that she had that opportunity.
She was ready to admit she didn't know something, too.
Yes. Admitting she didn't know something?
Yeah, I mean, there was some area that question she couldn't answer, you know.
Like she said she was not a geologist.
Well, good that we have women in those positions, because a man wouldn't do that, probably.
Well, I'll bet the next time she comes to that, she'll know.
Yeah. But anyway, she did well, and that the purpose of that was give you that a feeling for your surroundings. You're in a different environment here, and she didn't come up here and talk about this, but we're going to get plenty of action on the interpretation of this area around here with Carl tomorrow under C there with the Holden Mine Tour, and then this afternoon with your walk, if you partake of that, at 2 o'clock up to the old residence area. And then you already had that slideshow last night talking about what it really felt like to be a resident up here during the mining days and all of those cultural activities here in the forest. What we just did was the startup and getting acquainted, and I'm working on objectives and where this is going, kind of where this outline is going. And I think it's important that when we're going through a course that we always know where we're going and where we've been and where we are right now. So right now, we're working on objectives, and I have to state what are my objective is for my part of this, and that's always hard to do because that makes me really pin myself down. And I have an objective written down here, but I have to find it. Okay. My objective for you, and I hope everybody can, I'll read it too. It's oriented to you. Objective, and I'll read it as soon as I write down objective here. You will view public lands from new directions. That's my objective. I hope that that's what we're going to get done here. And everything I try to do is focused onto that. You may wonder why I'm doing something, but I think that that helps me convey that to you. I'm not trying to sell you on my point of view, but I think you ought to be exposed to some other ideas or issues and different ways of looking at things, at least. And I have some ways, I think, that we can do that so that we will look at things from other points of view, and we're going to share different points of view on things. So that's my objective. That's the long-range point of a long-range objective of mine. And
will you read it again, please?
You will view public lands. That is our national forests, our national parks, our public domain, state parks, all other land than privately owned fee title land is what we call it technically, but the public lands that are government lands, government-administered lands owned by the people collectively. It's a big condominium concept. But anyway, it's you will view public lands from new directions. And now, with that, I can erase that, right? I was told when I was working for the Forest Service that I should leave my objective on the board all the time during the session. But I'm retired now, so I'm not going to do that. I don't like it. They pin me down then. Well, what's that got to do with that? Yeah. That's true. Okay. Now, my structure, so you kind of know how we're going to go on the way I do that, if we ever get off of this beginning and getting started, is that here's my structure. Or I call it my structure, but kind of the way I want to do this, the way I wanted this to go. I'm going to state the topic. segment of the whole course outline, we'll say, a piece of it, and then I'm going to present something that's and that doesn't last too long. Hopefully. And I have something to show you by what I mean. That's going to be brief. That it really won't take too long. Can you see? Can you read that? Turn the lights off, can you? Well, this shouldn't last too long. And
what does it say underneath?
It says, "Well, this shouldn't last too long." And here's a porcupine with a balloon, and mother porcupine and father porcupine. I just think it's neat because, you know, how would you?
How could it last?
But this is a Gary Larson, and if you're fed up with Gary Larson, let me know and I won't show any more of these. But anyway,
I'm just learning to understand it.
Yeah, it's difficult, but it's communication, you know. And I always like, how could you make a porcupine and draw one that would sit on a couch? If you've ever seen a porcupine, that's creative to me. I really like that. That part shouldn't take too long. Okay. So, anyway, the next part is, that should be less than 50% of the time, that part that I do. And then, number three is you comment. You do your thing and talk and communicate and talk to one another or something like that. Maybe I can kind of just drop out at that point. But anyway, then summarize what we got out of that. So it's topic stated, then I present something, then you comment, ask questions, raise points, tell me that you don't agree or something, and then we summarize all of that, and that wraps that up, and we move on to the next topic. So that's the way I want to do that. Okay, where's that? Now we're on our outline. Put my outline here. We did startup, getting acquainted, objectives, where this is going, and components and overview. The next section is seeing a new and a paradigm shift, and I'll have to do some explanation. This is the teaching part, and I hope it goes over.
What's paradigm mean?
Well, that's what I'm going to get into here.
That's a good comment.
Yeah, that's my task. That's part of this whole objective. And it isn't easy, I can tell you that right now. But it's got something to do with where we're going. But you'll see maybe. And I have some kind of trick or a way that we're going to look at that concept. So let me start with the word. It's spelled like P-A-R-A-D-I-G-M. And it's pronounced like P-A-R-A-D-I-M. The British pronounce it paradigm, but you know that. But anyway, that's paradigm. And it comes from the Greek word, and it's the Greek word is the parallel would be pattern. It's a pattern for something. But we'll get into that in what that means. It's a simple way to understand a paradigm, the way I'm using it, is to think of a map. Say, a map of Holden Village. They gave you a map. And that map of Holden Village shows the location of things. It's a representation. It's a representation of this territory. But it's not the territory. It's the map. It's the way we view the territory in a way that we can put into our minds, because we can't think of the whole territory. It's a generalization about something, about, well, we have a map of Chicago, let's say. You've been to a city and you buy a map of that city. Now, and as I said, that map is not Chicago, but it's a representation, and it assists you in getting your way around Chicago. So, we use those all the time, though. There are paradigms, our maps, if you want to think of it that way. And now we want to talk about two categories of paradigms that we use, the way we use them as people. We use them, there are two main categories, and they're realities and they're values. And this is the way things are. And this is the way realities are. The way we think in terms of the way things are to us, and we also think in the way things should be. So we just have all kinds of these in our head. We interpret everything we experience through these mental maps. And they're settled. We acquired them over our lifetime, but we don't know it. Through our experiences and just through association, our parents gave us some of those. A lot of influences on the way we perceive things and interpret everything we see. And so, not only do we have them, but our attitudes and our behavior grow out of these assumptions or these things that we assume about
the way things are or the way things should be. We set up this pattern, this map that is accurate for us individuals that we have acquired. Now, if you went to Chicago and actually, you know, somebody switched the title on it and they put Chicago on there, but they really had Detroit. You could go to Chicago and you might have a problem. And, you know, you might do a lot of things with that map. You could fumble around for a while, and then you would look at it, and you would not get where you wanted to go, and then eventually you would find yourself ended up lost. But then you're frustrated, and you could use some strategies to deal with that. And we do that when we have the wrong map, even. And we often do that. We compensate with some positive thinking. And we think it's okay, and we say it's all right to be frustrated because that's life. And so we've learned to accommodate that. So we're adjusted to it, and through positive thinking, we're actually enjoying it. But we're still lost. You know, we're still lost. We can't get it to anywhere. So accuracy could be important. So an important point that I'm trying to get across here, and then you can, you know, when it's your turn, you're going to turn on me or one another, and you're going to say what you think. But this is my, here's a paradigm for you. We see things as we are. We see things as we are. We see reality, we see the way things are as we are. We see the way things should be as we are, as individuals. We don't see things not as they are, but as we are. Now, that's the concept of the paradigm, the way our minds function. And I want to just show you something to look at for a little bit here on the transparency. And don't ask me why, but it's, you'll see later why. Well, just study that picture for a minute. If you've ever seen this before, well, don't tell anybody else. But it's just something for you to casually observe. Just to look at that for a few more seconds, and then well, we saw a transparency there. And now I want to show you another one.
Okay, let's look at that. Let's see. You see that? Anybody have trouble seeing that? The clear, the focus?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Let me ask. Helen, could you describe what?
I've seen it.
Oh, you've seen it before. Mary, what? Could you describe what you see?
Two things. If I close my eyes and squint, I see something completely different.
Okay. You see two things.
Uh-huh.
James, what do you see?
A profile of a woman.
Okay.
Fancily attired with ostrich plumes or furs.
Mm-hmm. And let me see. Anybody else see a young woman there? Okay.
Leonard. Hey, you.
Yeah, hey, you, Leonard. How old would you say the young woman is? I mean, the woman is.
Late 20s.
Late 20s?
What I see is 80.
Well, just a minute. I want to talk to people that see a young woman in there.
I see a woman with a goiter.
A goiter? Okay. Let me see. I want to ask another question. I gotta have to control this a little bit. These goiters, I don't know. Zora, what kind of roles would you see that woman in?
High fashion model, probably.
Yeah. She's high fashion.
Lady of the streets.
Woman going to the opera. Okay. Now, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, this is probably going to cause some controversy, but what if I told you people that saw that young woman that's not reality to me at all. Mm-hmm. I don't see a young woman there at all. I see an 80-year-old. Hey. I guess you'd say. And she, I don't see her in any of these roles that you saw her in. I think she's got an ugly nose. I think it's really kind of grotesque in a way. And she's wearing, and what is she, and I'm saying she's wearing a shawl and a fur coat.
She probably has a broomstick.
And rather not the kind of role that you would see at the going to the opera. And
could be a before and after.
So I want to make sure that everybody here can see the elderly woman. Is there all right, because I can help you if you don't see the elderly person.
Can you trace out both of them? Because the first time I saw it, I had a really hard time seeing how they go, what the eyes are, what the ears are, and then.
Well, here's.
Let me go back to this one. You want to do that? Now, you see that necklace there? Okay, this is a necklace. And this is her hair. And her eyelash.
Yeah.
And her chin.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Now, put this one back. See, what was the necklace?
No.
It's now a mouth.
Oh.
And here's the big nose.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And her chin.
Oh, yes.
And her eye. Her two eyes. You see that? Now, is there anybody that doesn't see the elderly person there now?
I can't see it.
You can't see it. Well, let's work on it some more. Here's her coat, or this fur coat. See, you know, this texture to this fur right here. And then this chin here, and the mouth, and then this big nose.
Oh, I see it.
And these two eyes.
I see it.
And this is her hair coming down over her forehead. And then this is the shawl here. I'm going to help. Can you see it yet?
I see it.
You do? No.
I still don't see it.
You're going to see it.
I open my eyes wide.
You have trouble seeing the other one.
You have trouble. Yeah, now you have trouble seeing the other one. You're going to see the other one.
See it now up there? Anybody else that doesn't see the elderly lady? You do. Everybody here? Okay. Well, when you first saw that for the first time, initially you saw that. Remember when I put that other one up? This one here. I was setting you up for that reaction.
That's politics.
that's a lot of things. It's a lot of what goes on in this world. And so what that is that you saw something based on a very recent impression. And when I showed you that young woman, this one here, most people, 90% of the people, are going to see in that next one, that composite, they're going to see that young woman based on a conditioned response, kind of like Pavlov's dog, you know. And it's kind of a... is it logical? Well, it's psychological. Is what it is.
Our perception was colored by what we saw before.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it is, because I had seen it before and I'd never seen this one presented before the other one. It seems to me that with the black and white, the young girl is predominant.
Oh, yeah. You've seen it in color?
No, but I hadn't seen this before.
Today. My point I'm trying to make here is that if I had shown you the elderly woman picture first, then 90% of the people would have seen the elderly woman, and they couldn't have seen the younger one.
Is that your point? When I had seen it before, I immediately saw the young woman first, as I did today, and then the the older woman is secondary.
So it had that powerful effect on
you? Yes, whether or not I've seen this.
Oh, interesting. Because I've seen this thing so much, I guess, preparing for this, that now it kind of comes and goes when I see that. It just kind of, like, well, anyway, that's an experience.
Well, that's like the cross stitch thing that spells Jesus. Don't you know what I mean?
Yes.
Sometimes you can't see it at all.
But in this instance here, it also illustrates another point. It goes back here to this. We see things as we are, and what our preconceived, because we had a history of seeing that younger woman first recently, mm-hmm. And I think that there's probably a theory that would say that your most recent impression has the most powerful effect on what you see.
Could we ask the experienced woman chaser what he saw first?
Yeah. Saw the young woman then.
Yeah. Right on.
There's another point here, though, that is interesting, and that is that this concept of a paradigm isn't, I'm not trying to show how our minds work as a psychologist or as a person who's conditioned responses or as a behaviorist or something like that. I don't know anything about that anyway. But I want you to see that we had what would be called a paradigm shift. When you first saw that young woman, and then at an instant you saw an older woman. At that time, you had a paradigm shift. Reality was changed in your mind. So that was you have a lot of those. You probably had some experiences in your life where you've had a sudden shift of the way you see it, when you saw it before. Sometimes it's really dramatic. And there's a few examples of those that I want to give you. Well, there was a Greek astronomer named Ptolemy, P-T-O-L-E-M-Y. Mm-hmm. You teachers know all about him, mm-hmm. probably. He's an Egyptian. He was highly intelligent. The world at that time thought he was the ultimate in knowledge. And he believed, or he taught, and everyone else went along with the fact that the Earth is the center of the universe. That's what Ptolemy said. And then, later on, a fellow by the name of Copernicus, I think he was a Greek, is that right?
Polish.
Polish? Out of Poland. He said, the sun is the center of the universe. And he caused a lot of ruckus over that. There were a lot of people that said, he's got to be stoned or, thrown out. He is wrong because the Earth is the center of the universe. And Copernicus went on anyway, undaunted, with all his critics, but today we know that the sun, we have the solar system with the planets around the sun rather than around the Earth. But there was a paradigm shift that had to occur. And some people didn't see it right away, and they resented it very strongly. And there was another example.
Christopher Columbus.
Yeah, Columbus.
Columbus said the earth was not flat. It was round. And we're supposed to be done here at 10:30, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, tell me what you think of that, or comment. No, sorry. Anybody have any personal paradigm shifts that were dramatic in their life?
I think some are important and some aren't important. Like whether the earth is round or flat.
Yeah, that's important.
Uh-huh. And yeah. Some aren't important.
Some are not
some
as much important. Yeah, they're kind of personal, so what? Yes, sir.
Well, my memory of Lake Chelan was 40 years ago, and I remembered Lake Chelan as an unspoiled wilderness area with a cluster of houses at the lower end. Coming back this time, I find houses stretched out almost halfway up the lake that we saw today. And this was a very traumatic experience for me. I remember.
Right on.
Lake Chelan.
Yeah. What we expect is powerful based on our previous impression. You didn't, you were, whether you recognized it or not, you were expecting certain things up here, and when you didn't see it that way, it made a powerful impression on you, didn't it?
Yes.
Jim, a dramatic one.
Well,
is losing a mate because you were a wife or you were a husband and you lose a mate and immediately that's not what you are anymore. And that is a dramatic shift. Same thing would be if you only had one child and you lost a child. You see yourself as a mother and then you no longer are. I think probably the most dramatic thing that could happen to anybody would be the loss of a mate as far as the way you see yourself, because you just, that's the way you've always been in all your adult life. That suddenly changes. And
are you saying then that you're the same person, but the way you see yourself has changed because you were, it's the same, you're the same person, it's, you're seeing it as you are now.
You look at it differently.
The reality is that I no longer am the wife.
Right.
I have a friend who says you become a second-class citizen when you're a widow.
A lot of change, isn't there? Yes, sir.
Would another example be when you live in one culture and then go and live in another culture, the change of culture to another culture? Would that be?
Boy, I think that's a powerful one. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
I think my view of creation as a child shifted as I became an adult and learned more about the ongoing creativity of the world.
That's an interesting one. I have a lot of personal relate to that. You're first.
An artist talked to us at one time, and he had the belief that people wear masks. When you are at home, you have a certain mask. When you go out to business, you put on a different mask. When you're in a social situation, you have a different mask. You are a different. You project yourself differently each. So that would be, in the sense, a paradigm shift, too.
Right? Yeah.
And he was younger than 40 years old. Because that shift takes place sometime between 35 and 40.
Uh-huh.
You heard the songs that they made about the 40-year-olds.
You had one here, Norm.
Well, I was thinking of the concept of nuclear energy. And I think I've experienced a paradigm shift in that. I used to think we had a supply of energy that would supply all of our needs we could possibly conceive of without any problems at all. And now I feel like the problems are so enormous that it's maybe not even a viable thing to consider.
Sure. Yes, ma'am.
Somehow in my mind, I want to tie it into the greenhouse effect, and that if I haven't had the shift, I better shift quickly. The way we've been living our life is that things are just going to go on, and we can keep using and using, and it's always going to be there.
Consumer-oriented society.
That's a paradigm based on a lot of history that we have, yes. Yes, ma'am.
I feel there's a danger in accommodating too much for that very reason. And we're looking at developments in that, too, coming from an area where there's lots of controversy now about encroaching on, well, cutting down trees, for instance, and encroaching on the land and so on. If we think we need to accommodate to that too much, we're going to allow it to happen. So some frustration is good.
Complex.
It's complex.
Yeah.
But with the greenhouse effect too, if we take advantage of all of this without considering the environment, then we're accommodating too much.
It's 10:30, and we're going to have a break now. Is that right? Go ahead, take over. Thank you.